Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Our guest, Simon Townsend, is highly regarded for his raw and honest songwriting, meticulous playing, and distinctive vocals, apparent on his latest album, Denial, released last year.
Lips is life denying that there ever was a problem inside. Takes his poison neat and hides it underneath his pillow at night.
Over the past 3+ decades, Townsend has released 7 studio albums, 2 live albums, and 2 EPs. After spending much of this year in arenas across the country as part of his duties touring with The Who, his older brother is Pete and Simon has been in the band for almost 20 years, Townsend is heading back to the States now on his one-man and his guitar tour. Simon Townsend will play at Daryl's House in our region in Pawling, New York on Thursday, and it's my pleasure to welcome him to the Roundtable. Thank you so much.
Hi.
When you were just getting into music, what did you know about Daryl Hall, and were you a fan?
Yeah, I was always a fan of Hall & Oates. I mean, before that, I was a fan of Todd Rundgren, and I think Daryl Hall was a big fan of his. One of our classic 70s albums was Abandoned Luncheonette that we used to listen to all the time. And War Babies was another one. I sort of veered slightly away from them for a while, and then I really liked their 80s album as well that they did with Some Things Are Better Left Unsaid and that bunch of material. But for me, She's Gone, one of my favorite songs, actually, from Abandoned Luncheonette.
Did you specifically want to play at Daryl's, or does it just, that's the way it works out when you're touring?
No, I've always wanted to play there. I'm most keen on meeting Daryl and perhaps one day doing the Daryl's House broadcast that he does online. And so it was really great when I heard that they'd offer me the chance to play there. It works really well for me because I'm heading over towards Philadelphia, so from New York. So it was absolutely perfect and an honor to do it. I'm really excited.
Now, you'll be playing solo on this tour. Do you feel any more pressure when it's just you and your guitar, as you say?
Well, you know what? There's certain songs you can't play solo because, you know, it might be reliant on a bass line or a drum beat in a tune that sort of makes it. You know, I'd like to play, when I sometimes play the odd Who song, I play maybe one Who song in my set. And when I'm with Roger Daltrey, for example, I play Going Mobile because the Who never played it live. So I play that one. But I just can't play it on my own. It's such a sort of, it's a melodic part on the guitar that needs the bass part to root it. And so, you know, you have to sort of think about what you can and what you can get and what you can't play and what you can get away with. Most songs that are written on guitar, for guitar, work perfectly well, so you know, I have an abundance of material that I can play, but I love playing with a band. If you can't beat the power of loud music and the joy of playing with other musicians. It's a wonderful thing, but also to be able to play on your own solo in clubs is another string to the bow, and it's something I really enjoy doing. So, and I think people also really enjoy it. They can hear the words better. They can hear how the song was structured and the basics of a song more when it's solo. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Have you done any of the looping pedal stuff?
Yeah, I have. I've got looping pedals and stuff, but you know what? I started looping backing vocals. That was something I was doing a lot of for mm-hmm. a while, but it's quite difficult for me to carry all the equipment necessary over to the States and transporting it and everything. And at the end of the day, I quite like the idea of the one man and his guitar and just a stripped-down version of a show and keeping it raw, you know?
Is that how you started in music?
Yeah, well, I started playing piano when I was 8. When I was eight, yeah. No, guitar, sorry, when I was eight was my first instrument, and then I picked up piano when I was 10. And my family, very, very musical. My father was a wonderful saxophonist and clarinet player. My mother was a singer, and my father's father was a flautist. And it just goes on. We've got a huge lineage of musical genes pouring into me. So I just sort of naturally picked up the instruments. They were around me, you know, from when I was very young. There were guitars, there was a piano, there was a drum kit, there was trumpets and trombones and everything you could think of around the house. We had a music room. My father had a music room, which I took over in my early teens. And so music was, you know, something that just came naturally, really. And I sort of thought about doing other things. I always wanted to try football, and it just didn't happen. I couldn't. It was music or nothing, you know.
And I read that that's gone to the next generation as well. Your son has picked it up?
Yeah, all my kids are playing. I mean, my son Ben is a wonderful drummer, absolutely incredible drummer. And my other son Josh is a guitarist, and my daughter plays and sings a bit as well. She's a gorgeous singer. Yeah, it's something I think you just pick, you know, you just get born with. It's one of those things. It's talent just gets passed on.
Do you have any trepidation about them going into music? Because, you know, it can be a tough life at times.
Yeah, well, my son Ben played in my band when he was about 16 through to when he was around 22. He played with me in my band, and we also played in the British Rock Symphony, the Ultimate Rock Symphony. He was drumming with people like Alice Cooper, Roger Daltrey, you know, there's loads of people, Paul Young, and the singer of Free as well. I can't remember his surname, Paul Rogers. You know, so he played with a lot of fantastic people. And also sort of leading an orchestra. And he was only 20 years old at the time. So, you know, I was really keen for him to carry on. But actually what happened for him was he just didn't keep track of how much he was earning. And the tax man came along and killed him. And he kind of got forced into giving up music, really, and had to sort of start trying to earn a living, where his tax was being paid, and he was in a safer position. And also with the music industry changing to the point where drums were being played so much from machines that the need for live drummers was being reduced, so work was harder to find.
What do you make of these changes in the industry right now?
Well, it is what it is. I mean, everything's everyone wants instant gratification, and you know, if you're recording in the studio and you want say some cymbals on your track, you just pull up some cymbals and put them on. There's no calling somebody up and hiring a musician anymore to come and play, and it's there in your at your fingertips, and I'm afraid it does affect some people. I mean, it's the same when robots make cars, isn't it? You know, it's taking away work from the manual labourer, and it's a difficult time. And also, I think the music suffers a bit because it becomes a little bit electronic, and I think that when music is played by people live, it's just a different thing entirely.
Mm-hmm. Are you writing anything right now?
I am, little bits and pieces. I should be writing more. I constantly try and inspire myself. And what happens with me is I have floods and waves of inspiration. And I don't want to produce music for the sake of it. I certainly don't want to sit down and write a song that just in order to make money. I prefer to have a reason and have proper inspiration, really, is the key, I think. I like songs to write themselves, so that you know you sort of it's something you're saying for the right reason.
I was struck by something you said in another interview I read, that you consider yourself an artist more than a musician.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, very much.
How do you mean?
Well, I mean, I'm certainly not the most gifted guitar player. I can play guitar, and I'm good at what I do. I'm a solid player. I've got great technique and timing, and I can play. You know, but there are people out there that are 100 times better than me. But for me, it's all about the song. It's all about the raw material that I'm producing that's important. You know, when I was a kid, I never wanted to practice scales. I wanted to write songs. I wanted to produce material and try and jar people's emotions with words or phrases or musical melodies. So that's really what I mean. I think being an artist is far more important.
We're speaking with Simon Townsend, who will be in our region at Daryl's house on Thursday. You mentioned earlier in the interview that you'll usually pick a Who song to play. On the Quadrophenia tour, you did The Dirty Jobs, which was an unexpected highlight for me when I saw the show. How did you get picked to do that song during the tour?
I don't really know. I was approached by the musical director of the tour back in 1998, it was, when we first started doing Quadrophenia on live with The Who. And I was asked by his name, Billy Nichols. He came up to me, said, because I think it was Dave Gilmour did it at Hyde Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Billy suggested to Pete and Roger, you know, I think Simon can do this. And of course I could. And we did it at rehearsals. Everyone loved it. So it went on from there. And once I was in those boots, I kept them on for about 20 years. I was still doing it today.
Approach a song when you perform it differently in your head, you know, what you're thinking about if it's not a song you've written?
I guess I do, yeah. I mean, yeah, I suppose that is where the musician in me will come out. I will listen to a song and I'll listen to it with more of a musician's ears. When it comes to my music, I don't seem to do that. In fact, I'd much rather have other people play on my songs than myself in some ways. So it's definitely a case of when I hear a Who song, I hear it from a more of a musician's point of view.
As we speak, the band is between legs of what is to be the last tour. What does it mean to you? I mean, we've heard from your brother Pete and Roger about their feelings, but I wonder, for you and of course for Pino on bass and Zach on drums, you guys have been in the band for a long time and it's, you know, winding down as well.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, Pete and Roger are a generation older than us, so we're probably going to carry on and be the Who too. I don't know. It's a difficult one. You know, we've been doing this now. Pino joined in 2002, and it was very much the first. It was the first show that I'd come back to the band was in Hollywood at the Vegas at the Hard Rock, and John Entwistle died on that very night, the night before the first show, and I thought it was going to all be over there and then. And I think Pino was in town or flew into town and said he could do the bass parts if we wanted to carry on. I think it was one of those you know, just give it a go. So we went into rehearse, and it all sounded great. And, you know, rather than everyone go off moping and crying about we losing such a wonderful guy, which we were all devastated, but it just seemed like such an awful thing to do, to just stop at that point. So we carried on. And we're now, Pino, Zach and I, we're all really great mates, and we are talking about doing some sort of band project at some point. But, you know, I don't know how long the Who have got. Maybe another couple of years in them yet, you know. But my brother is incredibly fit, and he's awesome on stage still. So as long as there's people that want to come and see the show, Roger can still hit all the high notes. He's a still natural-born performer. So I think it will carry on for a little while, yeah.
Simon Townsend will be in our region on Thursday at Daryl's House in Pauling in Dutchess County, and his latest album is Denial. Simon, thank you so much for your time. Safe travels over here to the States, and we're looking forward to having you in our region.
Great. Thank you so much, Ian. Cheers.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.